You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
All right, let's go around the NFL. I see you folks on the text line still coming in with various different instances of your favorite radio moments, and really it's just a whole bunch of sports radio 610 moments, which I appreciate as well. Some people mentioning the post game of Texans games with Sean and Clint trying to navigate people calling in, which we'll have to get to it, because there is one in particular that very much still tickles me whenever I think about
it. Tipsy.
Yeah, keep those coming in, man. We might just have fun with those all day long, as it is National Radio Day. But let's go around the NFL, and I kind of want to start from where I typically end around the NFL with, the NFL Top 100. It's continuing to roll out for like the last month and a half, it feels like. But we're getting towards the end, and we're getting more Texans as we go. I mentioned yesterday that we had thrown up there Jahmyr Gibbs at 27 and Tristan Wirfs at 28. Mm-hmm. Well, still remaining to see. And you're right, Figgy. Tristan Wirfs is injured. We'll see. I don't think that he's going to be done for the season by any means, but we'll see when he's ready to go and if that has anything to do with your Houston Texans.
Because I want to say they had Charlie Heck as the backup.
Oh, Lord.
I want to say. And that's when I'm like, ooh, I hope he's there week two.
Yeah.
So that was neither here nor there, because you continue on. And this man, you got to give a lot of love to Philadelphia Eagles linebacker Zach Bond, jumping in at 26 after not being ranked. And, of course, you could say not ranked and that means something. But when you think about it, Zach Bond
wouldn't have been in the top 200.
At all. Like, he came in as almost like a special teamer type guy when they signed him after his stint with the Saints. And he became one of the best linebackers in the league. And then he got his big money last year. A lot of respect there from his colleagues and fellow players getting ranked 26.
Great story. It can happen. It does happen. And no, I agree with you on that one.
But the one that we care about, and a man who apparently jumped 43 spots last season, defensive end for your Houston Texans, Danielle Hunter.
Now, here's the best part about this.
25, by the way.
Yeah, 25. Here's the best part. I feel like he's finally getting his due, because he had great seasons, not good, great seasons in Minnesota. And was never really considered. I don't know if it was pairing with Will Anderson or pairing with D'Amico Ryans or getting on a team that maybe, certainly has had a lot of buzz around it, going into last year, with CJ Stroud and everything. Or maybe it's a combination of all three, that has sort of elevated him. He's finally getting the mentions that he needs and now the accolade.
Yeah, but what's wild to me, because I don't think you're wrong. I think you're right. He, for some reason, some of the reason is Daniil goes about his business very quietly. Mm-hmm. He does not point towards himself, nor does he try and draw attention towards himself. But even with all of that, this is a player-voted list.
Yeah.
He has been wrecking shop for a very long time, and he has been doing it against very good players. Like, you would imagine that players would have acknowledged that, but it seems like the way that this defense kind of just was one of the best in the league and tried and really just carried the Texans as an entire franchise with, you know, Will Anderson mm-hmm. Jr. and Derek Stingley and Kamari Lassiter. I think with all the shine of all the players, it lifted all boats and everybody and people yeah. actually looked up and saw, oh, wow, Danielle Hunter, he's putting up 17 tackles for loss and 12 yeah. sacks. Like, oh, we probably should give him some love. It is cool to see him yeah. actually get that love. It is cool that it's happened in this context because it is fair to ask the question, would he have gotten this love if he was not on this Texans team last year?
No, I don't think he would have. Even players, I mean, they're human, you know? We say it all the time. They might have been swayed by the headlines or you know, well, this guy's a Pro Bowler, so I think he needs to be, you know, top 25. And I know Danielle Hunter was a Pro Bowler. I'm just saying, like, the buzz around certain players, I think players, their peers can be swayed by that.
Now, how do you then juxtapose this with the fact that Will Anderson Jr. was ranked much lower, what was it, in the 60s mm-hmm. or something, where Will Anderson Jr. was? And, look, I'm not trying to say that Will is the same type of player right now as Danielle Hunter. I do think that, you know, the veteran nature of Danielle allows him to do some more things. But Will ain't, I don't know that he is. Is he 40, 50 players away from him in play capabilities at this point?
And maybe that's, because I'm with you. It strikes me as strange, but maybe.
I want to say, he was ranked 46, by
was
the way.
Was it 46?
Yeah. Okay. You might be thinking about Joe Mixon.
I am mixing him up with Joe Mixon. But, yeah. but who was the first Texan that?
Nevertheless, 46 is very high. Don't get me wrong.
Okay, but 20 spots actually feels a lot more comfortable.
It feels a little bit more, but I also feel there's just, with Danielle Hunter, there's a bigger body of work, you know, and they're finally recognizing it. Yeah.
Which is good. It is good to have that happen. But yeah, shout out to Danielle Hunter, 25th best player in the league. Mm-hmm. But clearly he's not going to be the best defender. We still haven't seen Derek Stingley. I think that is now the final thing. Cause I mean, we've gotten Nico Collins, we've gotten CJ Stroud, we've gotten Will Anderson. Who else would be up here in these spaces besides
I think Derek Stingley, right?
And so the last thing that I think remains to be seen, and again, I didn't grab any audio from the vignette, unfortunately. I'll see if I can maybe come back around to that at a later point. But with Derek Stingley, the last thing I think remains to be seen is just how high he ends up.
I was just
going
to ask you guys. Like,
I wonder if he's a top 20.
Call your shot. Give me a number, an exact number.
All right. So right now, Danielle is 25. I think that there's still going to be a number of quarterbacks that show up here.
Yeah.
I'm still putting probably 4 or 5 quarterbacks up here.
I can't tell you right off the top of my head which ones have not been named. I know Josh Allen had Mahomes.
Yeah, you got Pat Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, but I'm going to say
there's some running backs.
17.
Really good defensive players. 17.
17, yeah.
Yeah, he's definitely not going to end up in the top 10, which sucks because I do think that he's a fantastic player, but I just don't know mm-hmm. that he ends up in that space. Top 15 then becomes the question. I'm like, can he rank that highly as the second best cornerback? I think that he could. I think I go ahead and just conservatively, I say 15.
Okay.
I'm going to say 19.
Okay.
So I say conservatively, but I have the highest.
Conservatively.
Conservatively. We'll see. We'll see which of us is right as we continue to unfurl these. But no, I think Danielle getting his love and a fair point made on the text line here. Again, 713-572-4610. Is the number to text. But from the 832, Danielle Hunter ain't missed no games last year. Mm-hmm. And that does matter. I think that players do respect that he was BTA, as they're calling it, mm-hmm. all 17 games long, getting people hellacious spin moves, hitting people with the Euro steps, and getting to the quarterback and putting them down.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And that's right. I forgot, you know, obviously, you know, him not being there, Will Anderson probably made a little bit of a difference.
That does highlight, though, the level of elevation that Will can have this year mm-hmm. for next year's top 100 is still kind of incredible. I think that's a conversation we still remain to be had. That might be what we circle back to mm-hmm. when we revisit a little bit of Nick Caserio, because one of the things he talked about was Will Anderson.
He sure did.
And it's funny because all training camp long, it feels like we've kind of neglected Will and Danielle kind of because they're known commodities. But he's still getting better in various ways, isn't he?
I think more so Danielle. We're falling into that rut. I you know, Will Anderson has made some, from the start of training camp, some really impressive plays. Of course, they both have been early on in camp, you know, what would have been sacks, you know, a lot of those on CJ Stroud and other quarterbacks. Will Anderson has just been showing every bit of improvement.
All right, one more Texans thing before I get you more around the NFL, because that's what it's ostensibly supposed to be. So the Texans did a thing today. Mm-hmm. I was looking at my email, as I often do, walking into work, and I was like, wait, Texans transaction? What is happening here? The Texans have brought in a new long snapper. Can you get this? Blake Ferguson is a long snapper that they brought in. Mm-hmm. Used to play with the Dolphins. Has played a number of seasons, 5-6 seasons. Is that correct?
This is his sixth season.
This will be his sixth season. And I was like, oh, this is real late in the game to create some level of competition for long snappers. Ain't no competition because mm-hmm. apparently at practice, there is no sign of Austin Brinkman and Blake Ferguson is here.
What happened to Austin
Brinkman? I am so confused.
Yeah, that's at the first when I first saw that, I was thinking maybe the other guy got the job. So maybe they just need somebody for preseason or something like that for the last game mm-hmm. and let the dude rest. But if he ain't even at practice.
Like, that could be a number of things.
Did he just go AWOL?
Some injury that happens. I guess, in theory, it could be that he just disappeared. I feel like we would know something about that.
Yeah, we would. I thought, well, maybe he's injured. But first of all, how would a deep snapper? I get it. But you know.
Wow. You know what? You know what's happening in there? Fig, you hear? That's a little bit of snappers and specialists aren't football players. I hear it. It's a sprinkle of it in there.
Wait. I didn't say that.
That's what it's, you implied.
John Weeks want to talk to you for a little bit.
Yeah.
Hey, John Weeks is the man.
He ain't going to fight.
Oh, you missed John Weeks yet, huh? You missed John Weeks yet? They're on their third. This is the remember they had another one.
Yeah, Tucker Addington they had brought in.
They're on their third long snapper since John Weeks has left.
And what's funny is when I saw this originally, I was like, damn, do I need to go back and watch the snaps and see if Austin Brinkman had had some issues? I don't know that he had had issues mm-hmm. necessarily, but neither here nor there. Now we have to see if what's my guy's name? Blake Ferguson. I have to commit that to memory if he has what it takes to do what you need for the Texans. Because, again, that continuity matters a ton.
So Brinkman isn't out there.
Not according to our guy Cody Stoots.
Yeah.
He was the one who I saw tweeted it. That
is so bizarre.
It is bizarre. We don't have much more at this point, mm-hmm. but I will continue to watch and mm-hmm. see if anything changes or if we get more information there. The information that we got yesterday was Anthony Richardson mm-hmm. is not going to be the quarterback. And you made mention of this, and I didn't highlight it enough. Shane Steichen has gone with Daniel Jones as the quarterback, but he also said that this ain't a 1 week situation. He said it's for the season. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, for the season can mean all 17 games or until somebody does something poorly that we then bench them for. However, that means a lot when we talk about, and we talked about, are they giving up on Anthony Richardson or whatever? Well, apparently Anthony Richardson talked and he was like, you know, you just do what's best for the team. It doesn't devalue what you did, so on and so forth. I don't know if his agent had that same perspective.
Come on, man.
His agent got out here saying that they have a lot to discuss. The agent, Derek Jackson, I hope mm-hmm. I said that correctly. I probably didn't. Said, quote, we have a lot to discuss talking about with the Colts. He said that he believes Tuesday's decision and some previous situations involving Richardson have damaged the team's credibility.
Come on, man.
Saying, quote, trust is a big factor, and that is at best questionable right now. Anthony came back and made improvements in the areas that he needed to improve. And by all accounts, he had a great camp, close quote.
Except he did not. Figgy, this reminds me of Tom Savage. Remember when his agent came in after Deshaun Watson beat him out?
Yeah.
Like, oh, he's done everything. They benched him at halftime or whatever it was, first quarter.
Yeah.
They talked about how they didn't give him a fair shake and he did everything right.
Yep. Never heard from Tom Savage since.
Never heard from him again.
I don't even know where he played after that.
I don't either, but the Derek Jackson is his agent. And I read this, and this was the biggest eye roll ever. Like, I get it. He's his agent. He's going to have – but don't be saying he – showed all these improvements and did everything they ask, and trust is an issue.
He actually got a fair chance.
He got a great fair chance.
Yeah, this rookie year ended up getting hurt. His second year he showed, but ended mm-hmm. up getting hurt too.
Yeah.
But no, it was a competition. Mm-hmm. And I felt like they should have brought in a better quarterback than Daniel Jones for a competition. And you couldn't even beat him out.
Yeah, this is ridiculous.
That was his spot to lose.
Mm-hmm. And look, they set this up, and it's crazy because they set this up with a quarterback that was not all that good. Last year, both of these quarterbacks were dead last in a couple of various metrics that you could look at. And still, they brought him in and like, hey, you just need to clear this what felt like a very low bar, and it's evident that he didn't. How much do you think that they came into, they being just the entirety of the Colts organization, came into this offseason with the feeling that they did not want or that they wanted this to ultimately be the way that it ended up?
No,
with,
I think they
Daniel
had an
Jones
open mind. I really do. To bring in Daniel Jones, it's not like you brought in Kirk Cousins or something. You know, you brought in a guy that you could compete with Anthony Richardson.
Because when they say it's a competition, they brought in Daniel Jones. I'm like, what are y'all doing? Come on now.
Right. No, I thought it was a fair competition. Do you not?
It feels like it was fair. However, I think you could easily look at the idea of, hey, this dude clearly did not play well enough, but mm-hmm. you invested a high level of draft capital in him and you want to maybe see it out, give him more opportunities. But he was given a lot of opportunities. I don't think he really lived up to it in a way that feels like you should keep going for it.
Yeah.
But I don't know that Daniel Jones gives you much on the other side. However, I imagine that Shane Steichen is just trying to keep his job. We got to remember the dynamics that are there with the Colts, which is mm-hmm. kind of new ownership. Like, obviously, your previous owner, Jim Irsay, passed away. And so you have Carly Irsay Gordon, who's now at the top of this. And I don't think she has to be beholden to any of the decisions that were prior there. Mm-hmm. I think with new evaluations, everybody's head on a swivel.
Yeah.
To some degree. And so Shane Steichen, who has been there a little bit and has had some rough seasons, I imagine that he might be looking at, can we just have an offense that runs?
Just a little safer.
Or just an experienced quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, say what you want about Daniel Jones. I don't think he's that good. But at least he's an experienced quarterback that can step in and at least attempt to run the offense. I don't know how good the offense would be.
Yeah.
But Anthony Richardson couldn't even run off. I mean, he could. It was the small stuff he was messing up on.
Exactly.
Someone asked, do you think that the Colts quarterback situation would get Shane Steichen fired? I don't know. However, maybe I'm reading too much in this. Quentin Nelson, obviously, really good guard for the Colts, said I'd be lying if I said it wasn't frustrating.
Yeah.
Was the quote that he gave to obviously having the turnover of quarterback time and time again. I do wonder, does this lose you the locker room?
I think the quarterback position more times than not gets coaches fired. There are situations where you lose the team. It's bad personnel decisions. But if you want to say what gets a head coach fired more than anything else, it's quarterback problems. Always. The majority is always point back to quarterback problems.
Especially when you're the offensive head coach.
Yeah.
And I do kind of feel a little bit bad for Shane Steichen, and I will not be boo-hooing or anything. Because he made this offense look decent with Gardner Minshew.
Yeah. I mean, they were right on the brink of the playoffs.
And here they are struggling with big-armed Anthony Richardson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hate to see it.
I like Tyler Miller. He said, but Daniel Jones can't hit the top of a stadium with the ball.
It's true. And what I said to Tyler Milner when he said that to me, I was like, Anthony Richardson can't half the time either, if we're going to be entirely honest. So I guess more power to y'all with that situation as it continues to go. All right. Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Coming up next in Loop on Sports Radio 610. Awful Announcing put out a really interesting list of the best MLB broadcasts. Where does Space City Home Network fall? And what improvements, what advice would you offer to make Space City Home Network the best broadcast out there? Let's have the conversation next.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth. For a healthier heart,
for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Happy Wednesday to you. Hope you're enjoying your day thus far. Awful Announcing put together an interesting piece. They do a good job covering kind of, especially sports media type stuff. But they did a top 30 list, which of course is all of the MLB teams, but ranked the various TV broadcasts for all of the various teams. And of course, We know that intimately because we are watching Houston Astros baseball a lot. And over the last week, it has been a little bit rough. Sometimes you got to lean into the broadcast itself. But I was very interested to see or to find out where our local broadcast showed up and how it was regarded outside of the area when it comes to this awful announcing list. So first and foremost, have you already seen the list?
I did.
You always take the fun of the guessing.
I try not to.
But y'all be on the internet too damn much.
But if you recall,
because you're on that phone all the time.
Hold on, let's just jog.
You know everything.
Let's just jog your memory a little bit. I brought this to you,
sir. You're not supposed to tell people that.
Did you see this list? Yeah, I gave it to you.
You could have leaned there and said, "No, I haven't."
Oh, what list? What list?
No, you're right.
I try to always play the game because I like playing that game. You know, the guessing.
No, for sure. Yeah. But so you know that the Houston Astros come in as 18th of 30 teams. Obviously, Todd Callis, Jeff Blum, and then sometimes getting Eschenfelder and Bagwell in there on the broadcast. Apparently, most common grade given was a C.
Yeah,
by the broadcast, saying that it narrowly edged out the Cardinals booth, which sucked that Cardinals. Mm-hmm. I hope that you always come in behind the Astros, but saying that they've been, you know, obviously the comments. Significant praise for Callis and Blum, saying that there's perfect chemistry and by far the most enjoyable broadcast team to listen to, always on their game, entertaining, insightful, so on so forth. There was criticism for the substitute voices, especially Bagwell, saying that Bagwell and Eschenfelder need a lot of work. Never put Bagwell in the booth again. He mumbles and brings nothing insightful to the broadcast, which that feels a little harsh.
Damn.
That feels a little bit harsh, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Okay, so, and we talked about this. You mentioned it in the tease here. I want to get to what you would suggest.
Yeah.
You know, constructive criticism, because I think we all like the broadcast. I think Todd Callis is excellent. I really do. I would put Todd Callis top 10 easy. And that's not a shot at Jeff Blum. I think Jeff really plays to the audience as a former player and his little doobies and all those things, you know. I mean, that's he's doing his job. But I wouldn't put him necessarily top 10 as an analyst, like, you know, like we would be used to on whatever other, you know, networks or other places. So it's not a criticism. I think Todd Callis is excellent. But let's talk about some constructive criticism in a minute. But just on the list itself, I think 18 is about right. I think they're good.
They cool.
They're cool.
They cool.
And they've been together since 2017. I think some of the best ones that you hear are folks that have been together for a long time. And then also the likes of, like, when you get an analyst that is also just kind of been there for a long time and able to just kind of really let loose. And I know Blum is doing a decent amount of that. You mentioned like the doobie and those types of things. But can I take you to John Kruk, who is on the Phillies broadcast?
This is so good. Yeah.
This isn't even the thing that you're thinking of, because you had a different one.
Punched in the nose?
No, like he'll talk about getting punched in the nose. He'll talk about deciding to become a vegan. Yeah. This was him talking about, you know, a thought that he had just had that he decided to bring to the broadcast.
So you know how I think of things when I have free time and I shouldn't?
Yep.
So I was wondering.
Yep.
The person who invented the clock.
Yeah. Which one? The digital or the hand?
The first clock ever.
Okay.
How did that person know what time it was?
Well, that's a really good question.
I thought so.
Bouncer back toward the middle.
That's right.
Gobbled up by Young. One hopper.
That's good.
The bone is safe.
That's good.
You know,
right back into the baseball.
There is that sundial they might have used.
Is that accurate, though?
Oh, I guess it's as accurate as it can be. So when you were contemplating the clock thing, did you come up with any answers yourself?
No. I thought I'd ask you.
I would think so.
You nailed it, Figgy. It's a hell of a drug.
But I think those are the moments. I mean, we were talking about kind of radio. And when we talked about radio, on the text line, I don't know how many people were like, yo, this is a great take. It's these types of moments that I think make you feel like, especially for baseball, like you're sitting and watching the baseball game with some friends. And I think that probably just comes with more time of doing the broadcast. That's why I like what that Space City has had, Todd and Jeff out there in the Crawford boxes broadcasting from that different vantage point, having a little bit more of that same energy.
No, they're good. I like them. They're good. They each know their role. I was a little bit taken back, but I don't know if they mentioned this with any of them. They didn't mention Julia Morales.
That's one of the things that's come in a number of times on the text line is just more Julia would help.
Here's where I would say maybe some constructive criticism. Tell me if I'm wrong on this, listeners, and Figgy and Reggie. The only thing that I would go, okay, you probably need to add some context to this, is they have a lot of inside jokes. A lot of inside jokes, and they'll kind of giggle and you're not exactly sure what they're talking about. And that's, that's stuff on radio that really you need to be more transparent with,
There are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall! Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes?
Check out MLB.com's morning lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Am I wrong on that? Especially on TV.
I think also I think they kind of play into the whole Astros Twitter thing too a lot, and which is cool if you're trying to get to that point. But I'm wondering how many people that are watching the game are actually on Twitter like that to kind of get what
you
the
do. Kind of have to lean into it, but I get your point.
Yeah.
Again, I like them. I think they're good. I think Todd Callis is very, very good. But the inside jokes thing kind of gets a little. You're like, okay, you know, you got a lot of people watching this game that don't know anything what you're talking about. And then the other thing, the Jeff Bagwell mention, how he mumbles and all that. I think that's all a product of Jose Abreu. Remember when he came on consistently defending Jose Abreu, look at the back of the baseball card. And then Jeff Bagwell is sort of making decisions for Jim Crane or with Jim Crane, and people just turned on Bagwell a little bit. I think they it just rubs them the wrong way when he's on the air.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that probably doesn't help. But, yeah, I mean, if you're in that place, the mumbling will get to some folks. And I guess people mentioned that there's a number of people on the text line mentioned that they felt it was a little rough with Bagwell on the broadcast. But I think 18 is an all right place to be. But I think as just having more opportunities, more times, and I think they are probably all right. It's fun when they get Julie involved and you kind of have the entirety of the booth. You do get some more of those inside jokes, to be fair, but you kind of get a little bit more of a collegial atmosphere on the broadcast, which I think is part of the fun of watching baseball. It feels like you're just, you know, watching it with some of your boys.
Yeah. And for the record, you know, the top ones, I guess we need to mention, you mentioned the Phillies. I believe they were six.
They were six.
Yeah.
And then
go ahead.
The best broadcast apparently is the Padres broadcast, where Tony Gwynn Jr. would jump in, but it's Don Orsullo and Mark Grant. Now, coming in two was the Mets, and I like I mentioned, when you have Keith Hernandez in there, he has a lot of fun, but Gary Cohen does a good job kind of keeping everybody at bay. San Francisco Giants show up high at third, rounding out the top five are the Blue Jays at four, and then also the Chicago Cubs broadcast.
Jim Deshaies.
Boog Sciambi and Jim Deshaies on the broadcast at five. I guess I should give you who the worst one is. I think people know. It's funny because the worst ones, it's about the broadcast, but the teams are kind of funny when you look at the worst broadcast. It seems to make sense. The Athletics comes in at 30 with Jenny Kavner and Dallas Braden. And then the 29th broadcast is the Rockies broadcast. It seems like organizations.
Are you sensing a trend?
Organizations that don't take care of their baseball seem to not also take care of their broadcast as well. So that seems to make sense for sure. From the 281, really hate when they don't inform the TV listeners that there's a no hitter being pitched. So how do you feel about
that? Really? That does bug me.
Because you'd rather them go against the superstition of it all?
You know how I feel about this, but I don't know if I've really mentioned it too much with Reggie. If you're watching a no hitter and you're broadcasting it, what do you want more than anything? Everyone to tune in. Everyone to call their friends, text their friends, and tune in. And this is my one beef with Todd Callis. Like I said, I think he's really good. But he doesn't do they're throwing in, you know, the whatever. Framber Valdez is working on, has a no-hitter through six or whatever it is. Because you're not doing your job as a broadcaster.
You're doing your job as a baseball superstition fan.
The don't mention no-hitter stuff is for the dugout. Period. It's for the dugout. Not for fans in the stands, not for you and me watching, and it's especially not for a broadcaster.
713-572-4610. Is Lopez right?
Yes, I am. You don't need to text.
Yeah. and I think stuff like that is why I like watching the National whenever they on National
TV. Really?
They'll say it.
Yeah, because it's not they call in the game. There's no bias or anything, no homerism and all that stuff. Like, I just like I just want them to call the game.
Yes, but you have to say, and you're not doing your job. If I'm watching a game and I didn't notice I'm in and out or whatever, and Todd Callis says, Framber, to use that example, as a no-hitter through six, I'm texting my family. You know, I'm calling friends or texting friends and say, hey, man, Fromber's got a no-hitter going. And you get more listeners, you get more viewers. That's the gist of it. The don't talk about a no-hitter thing is for the dugout. Period. Period.
And how can you get those legendary calls too?
Right.
Because we could go back in time and listen to some calls. It's a no-hitter going into the seventh inning.
Was it the Yankees announcer that talked about this last year? And yeah. said anybody who doesn't say, any broadcaster who doesn't say it is a hack?
Yeah. who was that? Sterling?
It might have been John Sterling.
Yeah, I think it was John Sterling.
Yeah.
All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping, including an update on what happened at AA Corpus Christi with some more of the reinforcements that the Astros are looking for. We'll do that next. All right, we talked about it a little bit earlier. The Astros lose in extras to the Tigers, 1-0. Again, another shutout of the Astros offensively. I don't think it should have been, though. Yainer Diaz gets thrown out or tagged out at home, according to the umps, according to New York, and not according to me in my eyes,
though.
You're
going to die on that hill.
I will. Because I felt so strongly about it. Most oftentimes, I didn't see it.
Like that.
I didn't see it.
You didn't see his fingers go like that?
No, I saw. Wow. I saw that slide mitt hit the plate. That's what
see,
I saw.
You
I
didn't
did not
see that.
I did not.
Wow.
Okay. And I think a number of people will also see it my way.
Yeah, they will.
On the text line. But of course, ultimately,
ruled
out on that.
They also don't care about saying no hitter on the air.
Yeah, I'm about to say, what's this, Space City Network? Yes.
I earned that one, didn't I? But ultimately, they lose. We were talking a little bit about the bullpen and how off air and how they went about it. You had Brian King come in for the seventh. You had Bennett Sousa hold down the eighth with a couple of strikeouts to boot. Mm-hmm. Brian Abreu handles the ninth masterfully. And then you end up with Caleb Ort out there in the 10th. And he loads him up and ultimately walks home the walk-off.
The old walk-off
run.
Walk.
Yeah. With that being the case, were you upset about it? Because I saw a lot of people upset about the entire non-competitive pitches that he started throwing towards the end that ultimately lost the Astros the game.
Yeah, the one that got me was the final 3-2 count, game on the line. Nobody was even on deck because, I mean, that was it. You know, that's it.
Right, if you strike him out or if you get him out, you know, in play, then the game's over for the No, actually, at that point.
Well, no, you move on.
You move on, right.
The only thing that upset me is I get you're going to try to get the guy to chase, maybe. You don't want to give him a meatball. Although some people were saying, hey, man, just trust your fastball, try to make him challenge it, whatever. That's a little dangerous, but I get it. I get that you're going to try to throw a slider, sweeper away, whatever, you know. It missed the strike zone by at least a foot.
It was almost in the other box.
Yes.
It was almost in the left-handed batter's box.
That's what upset me. I was like, dude, you're not nibbling. You're giving it away, you know. And that's Caleb Ort, as you pointed out, and I thought this was right. You know, that's obviously a high leverage situation, and Ort is out there trying to nibble, you know?
Yeah, and I think this is the issue with the pen right now is that you don't have enough guys that you can trust in relatively or just flat-out high-leverage situations. Mm-hmm. We were texting, and I was looking at the player usage once they had gotten to the decision with 101 pitches on Hunter Brown to go to the pen. I'm like, okay, who do you go to? King? Oh, Sousa hasn't had too many pitches in the last 3 days. So you go King, Sousa, and then Abreu. All right, cool.
Yeah.
That's what you have. Once you got through those guys, I was like, damn.
Mm-hmm.
Okert and Ort had both thrown a decent amount of pitches in the last 3 days. Plus, again, I don't love them in high leverage situations. So, yeah, you end up with the highest leverage situation of you go to the 10th inning, and especially, you know, you need him to really be nails in this high leverage situation. I was not surprised that as he's trying to find his command, and as the counts tick up to where he really needs to get a pitch over, that, yeah, he's not able to hit his spots. That wasn't surprising for me because we've seen this over the last weeks, months, with him and just with the pen and where they've gotten to at this point. So I wasn't surprised. I didn't find anger in that moment, although I think you're very right to mention that pitch was not competitive, and there were different ways to go about that maybe would have given you a possibility of getting it out there as opposed to the pitch that he threw that was
just
really just not going to work.
Make him think about it. Make him check his swing and hope for the best. Something. It was foot more than a foot outside.
Yeah, so we're gearing up here in the next about 30 minutes to see the Astros in their getaway game versus the Tigers, and it'll be Framber Valdez on the mound facing off against Charlie Morton. In fact, the lineup should be out. I'll get that for you here in a moment. Before we do that, I didn't want to give you an update as to what was happening down on the farm, as reinforcements is the word that the Astros have been, really hanging on to for weeks and are continuing to. Yordan Alvarez in a DH outing versus a double or versus Double A Frisco, 2 for 4 mm-hmm. with a nice double out there to left center that was really good and a walk.
Stole a base.
Yes, he did. Which yes, he did.
I don't know how I feel about him trying to steal a base.
Oh, like that's going to send him back to the IL?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's still on the IL, I guess, technically.
No, extending. Don't do that.
But, yeah, he's going to have a rest day today before playing on Thursday and Friday. But that is deeply encouraging. Of course, you asked the question, is he going to fix everything? No, but I imagine that him coming back will help a lot, especially if he's swinging the bat like this.
He's going to help. There's no question he's going to help, obviously assuming health, which really he hasn't been all year long, even before he went out. He's going to help. They've got a lot of severe problems right now offensively. And I don't think he's going to fix anything, especially when you consider what we were talking about here at the beginning. Pitching pitching is still a huge question. Starting pitching is still a huge question.
And this one doesn't help you at all. It's more on the farm. And that's very same game. Luis Garcia was the starter. Four and a third innings pitched, 5 earned runs, 7 hits. He got 6 strikeouts, but he allowed 2 home runs. Like, this just doesn't feel like Luis Garcia is going to jump right in and do the thing, which, again, we've kind of established. We saw Christian Javier come back with moderate results. We've seen Spencer Aguirre just not be able to command his stuff. JP France is now off of is now making his return as well, but there's just, I don't think it's fair to expect these guys to come back and give you like high level starts, which is why it's going to be very, very important for today, for a game like yesterday that was important to win. And then, of course, having Frommer on the mound, you got to win the outings with those two guys on the mound.
Yeah, I think where we are with the starting pitchers is sort of a fingers crossed mode.
Every day?
With all these guys until they can prove a little more consistency.
Yeah.
I mean, it's true.
You're right. And then some other things happening as well, including Lance McCullers Jr., who's set to start on Friday in Baltimore. So, look, there's a lot of fingers crossed, as you mentioned there. Some other things that are popping. Did you see this? Dusty Baker back in baseball, baby.
This was wild to me.
I don't know what to do with this.
I don't either. I was like, okay, why? I actually searched, does he have any family, you know, or anything?
If you're like, what the hell are they talking about? Yeah. Dusty Baker was introduced yesterday as Nicaragua's manager for the World Baseball Classic next year.
He looked really good, too, man. He can dress. He's got this cool shirt on, but that's neither... Yeah, that's neither here nor there. Dusty Baker is going to manage Nicaragua in the World Baseball Classic. And I went, okay, you. Yeah, you were there. And I'm like, why? This is interesting. And it was just his...
He never wanted to stop managing.
I don't think he did. But his reasoning was, because he's, I guess he's like an advisor for the Giants right now. So he has time. He said he's going to have the time to manage. And he said it was kind of a tribute to Roberto Clemente and all the great work he did in Nicaragua. And I'm like, okay. I don't quite get it.
That feels like how you try and find the reasoning for a decision that you already made.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if that was the reasoning before the decision was made, but he was like, eh, bleep it, I'll do it. It's not a full season commitment. It's just the... And then he was like, how do I explain this? Roberto Clemente helped Nicaragua too, so I figure I could do that
I'll
as
do
well.
A little tribute, man.
Yeah. It did strike me as odd. I felt like, all right, you've had a lot of impact in baseball. Continuing to do managing things feels like you could probably let that go. However, again, a smaller time commitment than managing a team. I imagine significantly less stressful.
Probably
than managing
a truckload
an MLB
of money.
Team consistently. I'm sure that there's a little bit of money involved there as well. Yeah. So I'm sure that helps. And while I'm giving baseball updates, are you familiar with the concept of a noble tiger?
I saw this.
See, I love giving you these types of things. Yeah. Of course, I introduced you to the Skorigami.
Noble tiger?
Oh, he not going to know.
I don't know.
He not going to know. It is an acronym, by the way.
Yeah.
It is like the Skorigami in that it is a kind of a statistical oddity.
Only Reggie.
The noble tiger... stands for, I've forgotten off the top of my head now. I feel bad about it. So I'll give you that here in a second. But it is a bases loaded, nobody out situation. I'll give you the specific situation. Mm-hmm. But the Red Sox facing off against the Orioles had the bases loaded in the 8th, the 9th, and the 10th innings. Mm-hmm. They had a total of 0 runs that they got across in that game or in those instances.
And that's a noble tiger.
No, specifically,
well, one inning.
Yeah, one of those innings is a noble tiger. The noble tiger stands for no outs, bases loaded, ending with team incapable of getting an easy run.
All right.
I thought you would at least appreciate the schadenfreude of it.
I do appreciate it. I think I had heard that once, but when I saw it, I went, oh, I got to look this up. What is that again? A noble tiger. Bases loaded, nobody out.
And you weren't able to get a run across. That is a really wild thing to happen, though.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yes, the Astros have been in an offensive funk, but maybe you can take that mm-hmm. frustration and throw it over on the Red Sox and go, ha ha. Yeah. Y'all had literally the bases loaded, no outs. I mean, just a ball deep in the outfield scores a run,
mm-hmm.
and they couldn't get nothing across.
Hell, a ground ball just to the other side.
Yeah, true.
You know, it scores a run.
Well, I mean, although if you put a ground ball in the infield and they're playing right, they could get you a force. They could get a force at home plate.
Just a fly out or something, man.
Yeah, but you know, any ground ball to the right side, you're probably going to score. You're going to be moving on a ground ball.
Couldn't get a run across. Three different innings having the bases loaded, mm-hmm. and then one of the innings having no outs when the bases were loaded. So, yeah. And then if you also... if you're a baseball fan, that just a different note that might make you smile. The Brewers lost yesterday. They've been one of the better, if not the best teams in baseball. 6-4 loss to the Cubs. And so that makes it official that no team will set the single season wins record this year either. Well,
I guess I can tear that ticket up.
Yeah. I know that you put some money on the Brewers breaking the 0-1 Mariners record.
Mm-hmm.
I always remember the 0-1 Mariners. I never remember the 1906 Cubs.
Why is that?
Maybe because I was not even close to being alive in 1906.
Your parents
I don't know.
Weren't alive. Your grandparents might not have been alive. yeah. No. And the Brewers, what, they have 14 wins in a row? And then
they were cooking for a minute there.
Yeah.
Made me very happy that they're over there in the NL because mm-hmm. they've been playing very good baseball that I'm glad that I don't have mm-hmm. to pay attention to at all. But there you go. That's some of the things that are popping. And we mentioned Victor Robles throwing his bat.
Oh, this is big for the Astros.
Throwing his bat at a pitcher, Victor Robles, the Mariners player who was he was playing at Triple A Tacoma in a rehab start.
Mm-hmm.
He got mad at a number of balls thrown at him.
Five times
fair.
He was hit in 3 days.
He ultimately throws his bat, mm-hmm. picks it up after dropping it, and throws it at a pitcher. He's going to get a 10-game suspension, and it has to be in the majors. It's not going to be 10 games of his rehab or anything. So.
Right.
That is one player that the Mariners will not have at their disposal.
He's a significant player that the Mariners are counting on, and this is big for the Astros because if they bring him up, he has to work on a 10-game suspension. He has to have that. But also, the Mariners have, if they want to keep him up there, they have to play a man short. They have to play with a man, one fewer yeah. players on the
25 guys available to him at that point. Yeah.
On the roster. So
yeah.
that's big for the Astros.
Will that kind of force their hand a little bit where they, let's bring him up ASAP.
They so want him up.
So yes. we could get this out the way, even if he's not ready.
Right. No, I think you're right. And they were counting on him to kind of bolster their team, which needs a little bolstering right now after a pretty good run there. So we'll see.
Yeah, we will see indeed. Astros getting ready to, get their game going here in a little bit. Versus the Tigers, see if they can get a victory, 12-10 first pitch. And they still have a game and a half lead over those Mariners because the Mariners are also doing their losing streak,
right.
which we appreciate. But hopefully the Astros can break theirs. Valid crash out, to be honest. Yeah, that's right. You get hit 5 times in 3 games, and I'm not going to be too mad at you throwing a bat. Again, I mentioned it yesterday. I'm kind of surprised that throwing a bat's not that I want it to happen, but I'm surprised it doesn't happen more. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get back to your Houston Texans. Tomorrow is a huge day. Obviously, they practice today, but tomorrow gets really big because they'll be having the second of their two joint practices for this training camp, for this preseason. What tells are going to be the most significant in tomorrow's joint practice with Detroit? And according to Lopez, there's a right answer. Let's see if that's the case next.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your Fit says it all.
Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
When New Yorkers buy a place with Street Easy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.